This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stewart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
So a few announcements. We've got our Bible studies again tonight. I'm going to be sharing a illustration quote passage from our book tonight in the message today that I think will really bless your hearts. And then we need folks to sign up for the pumpkin patch, and we've got to sign up over here for that. And then Gwen Cates is going to come and share with us. As you know, we're moving into the season for our shoe boxes, Samaritan Purse shoe boxes. We've been doing that for, I know of at least 31 years here while we've been here. And I'm so proud of y'all just stacking up hundreds of those every year. And we just want to do it again, you know, and maybe surpass what we've ever done. So where is Gwen? Is she... Gwen, come on up. She's going to share with you. Let's give her a hand.
This is Vanna. She's going to help me. My name is Gwen Cates. My husband and I have been attending here for about 2 years. And about a year or so ago, Kim asked me if I'd be interested in being in charge of Operation Christmas Child, which was a total blessing because we've been involved in it for over 30 years as well, since the beginning. And so we have really enjoyed doing this, and it's going to be a blessing this morning to get started and tell you about it and to share with you the good news and the great joy. The good news, obviously, is Jesus, and the great joy is what you see in these children's faces when they receive their shoe boxes. Now, if some of you don't know what Operation Christmas Child is, it's a ministry of Samaritan's Purse, which is run by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. And what they ask you to do is to take a box like this, or it can be a plastic box, or it can be a regular shoe box, and fill it with fun items like toys, hygiene items, school supplies. We ask you to bring them back here by November 5th, because from here, they'll be sent over to the Methodist Church on Canner. They will put them into the big trucks that will take them up to Atlanta to the processing center. They'll be processed. They'll then be put on back onto the trucks and taken either to the airports or to the ports and go out in the ships. From there, they go to over 100 countries around the world to be able to share the gospel. There's people there, locals, that are waiting for these boxes to show up so that they can share the love of Jesus with the children of their country. They then will be given a box at a big ceremony or big get-together or outreach. And from there, the children receive a box. They receive a booklet in their own language, which explains the good news. And they have great joy. Are you sensing a thing here? Okay. And then from there, they are invited to a 12-week discipleship program where they get to hear more good news. And as you can imagine, many of you that are parents, grandparents, if your child has something or comes home with something, you're going to look at it. You're going to read it. You're going to make sure it's okay. So guess what? It's not only that one box and that one child. It's their parents, their grandparents, their aunties, uncles, their communities. Churches have begun from this. Sunday school classes have begun from this. Children's ministries. So this one little box that you're going to pack is going to affect a lot of people. So last year, we did an amazing amount of gospel opportunities, 360. So y'all should give yourself a hand for that. That's awesome. But this year our goal is 400. Doesn't mean we have to stop at 400. We can do more than 400, but that's the goal. Those are the boxes of joy that we're going to bring in this year for the children of the world. Now, I would love for each of you to pack a box, one, more, however many you want with you, with your family or friends, but we're going to do something new this year. We're going to have a packing party. Now, what this means is we are going to have a bunch of items that we've already accumulated, and also we want you to bring some as well. And we're going to set them up in on tables, and we're going to pack 100 shoeboxes just for the 10 to 14-year-old kids, because those are the ones that usually get less boxes, because it's so much easier to pack for the little guys. So we're going to do that. So what we're asking you to do is if you could bring a few little items that we could add to this packing party. Let's say like a small stuffed animal, a hairbrush. And remember, kind of keep the idea of small in there so it has to fit in the box. A toy.
It's this, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Jump rope.
Yep. Socks.
Socks.
And maybe a coloring book. So if you could bring any of those things. Now, the other thing is all of these items can be bought at a dollar store. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money on it, because you got to remember, it's all about the gospel, not so much what's in the box. They're not like American children that are waiting for something, you know, big. They are excited about this. They've never received one before, a gift. But the most important thing is the greatest gift of all, right, which is Jesus Christ. So there'll be a container for you to drop the items into that you bring in. And we'll start putting those together and have them ready for the packing party. Now, we're actually probably going to have a couple freebie items that we're actually even going to be able to give you for your boxes, if you like, and one of which is tennis balls that Mr. Mario is going to bring for us that you guys could put into your shoeboxes. So you may even start with a free item. Now, in the next couple Sundays, you're going to be introduced to some of the kids through video that have actually received a box in their country and now are telling their story of what it meant to them to receive a shoebox. So, will you join me in sharing the good news and the great joy? Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Pray with me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, so thankful to be afforded the opportunity to gather in this place and heard your word spoken and sang. Thank you for the choir for bringing us into a spirit of worship. We thank you for the message that you laid on Pastor's heart. Father, we hope that and pray that you'll give us understanding and the ability to put that message into action. Father, please bless this opportunity or bless this day and fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Father, as we long to be closer to you. We love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer before we dismiss our children for Children's Church. Father, we do just want to ask you, please, to let this not just be a praise chorus, not just be a song we've sang, but let it be our prayer. And we want to ask you, please, too, Almighty God in heaven, pour your spirit out upon us. We pray that we would sense your presence and your power. We pray, Lord, that you'll anoint our time together. Be with Julie and Children's Church. We ask you to anoint that. Be with Rick and the Spanish congregation and anoint them, anoint him. And Father, we just want to ask you, please take your word today and speak to all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to release our children now for Children's Church. Thank you, Rick. Thank you for the mood music. Hang in there. I want to remind our seniors, we've got a luncheon coming up the 17th, and want to invite you to be a part of that, and we'll have an exciting time. We'll be back here in the fellowship hall. How many of you seniors want to have fried chicken? Raise your hands. How many of you like to have something else? Filet mignon? And you're going to cover that for us? Well, we'll work it out. We do want you to bring your usual bowls full of vegetables and maybe a casserole or two. Preferably no Jell-O salads, preferably. We visited Kim's grandmother. Stop it, she says. We visited Kim's grandmother, Gigi Irene, and over in Shell Point Village in Fort Myers, and she would make like three or four different types of Jell-O things. And the kids would be riding over and said, are we having Jell-O or Jell-O? You know. But it was good. It was very, very good. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with you to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It's interesting, in the last week or two, I've interacted with several of our folks, several of our widows, and some of our younger members, and I've had, you know, a handful say, Pastor, I just want you to know I pray for you every day. And I covet that. I really appreciate that. I mean, that's something Kim and I desperately need. Amen, Kim? Amen. Amen. And just want to encourage you to do that. Today we're going to look at how we're to pray for each other. Pray for each other as believers, part of the family of God together, and what God wants us to do with that. So if you got your Bible, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. Beginning in verse 7. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit, your love. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you, and to ask you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Then he says, joyously, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. First of all, we see that we're to pray for each other because of our mutual love. Now, he illustrates one of his servants, one of the believers that was so helpful to the Apostle Paul, Epaphras. And Epaphras is referred to twice in Colossians and once in Philemon. And I'd like to rehearse a few things that pop out of the passage about him as the Apostle Paul described Epaphras. I thought, what a model member of a church he would be and was. First of all, he was beloved. He said, you know, he is a beloved fellow. Secondly, he's a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he recognized that he was in a covenant with God, that he was in a commitment, a contractual commitment with God, and he was sticking true with that. He was a faithful servant of Christ. He served the Lord Jesus. His life was Christ-oriented, and he focused on Christ, and he served Christ. And then he incessantly was a prayer warrior. I mean, constantly praying. And we see this in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray. Who's the we? The we is the Apostle Paul and Epaphras. It could include others, but in the direct context, that's who it was. He was an instructor of the faith. He informed them. We see in other references, in fact, if you look in chapter 4 of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, we see a little bit more elaboration about this sweet, godly brother, this loving brother in Christ. Epaphras, who is one of your number, meaning a member of the church at Colossae. So he lived in Colossae. He was a member there. And a bondslave of Jesus Christ sends you his greeting, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea in Hierapolis. So here we see this wonderful example of a member of the body of Christ who was full of love, full of compassion for the Lord and for the other believers. And it's important for us to recognize that. Then we see, secondly, we're to pray continually for each other. This is in verse 9 of our passage. And in verse 9, the first part of it, for this reason also, since the day we heard of, we've not ceased to pray for you. How many of you would say, the Lord lays on my heart to pray daily for various members of our church? Would you raise your hands? Praise God. And if that's not the case for you, I'd like to ask you to ask the Lord to remind you and speak to your heart to pray. How many of you wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and you have some of these intervals in your sleep? That is a great time to go into prayer and to exercise your prayer warriorship. Because if you start doing that, Satan will put you to sleep. Better than no doze, or whatever, better than some of the sleep aids that we take, you know. Better than NyQuil is you go into prayer, you're fervently interceding for us, any of us, all of us, the nation, you know, the world, other countries, you're praying, you're interceding, Satan, the demons say, we got to put a stop to that, you know. Aren't you getting a little tired? How many of you have had struggles in your devotions and prayer life concentrating? Would you raise your hands? All over the place. Such struggles, spiritual struggles, and this is warfare. Our prayer is our most powerful thing we have. We have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, but prayer is an overarching, encompassing ability that God's given us, and it's an access to the throne of God and the power of God. In our life group today, we were looking at prayer. We were looking at Daniel praying. We were looking at that famous passage where finally an angel appears and said, we heard your prayer, Daniel, the very first day. But here we are 3 weeks later showing up. Why? Because the prince of Persia, this regional demon, was opposing me until I received assistance from Michael the archangel. Michael had to come engage this powerful demon so that I could get to you and bring the message. We wonder, why are my prayers not immediate? Why are they hindered? I remember I was on visitation years ago. I was preaching a revival in Miami, and they said, Pastor, would you make a visit one of our members, one of our lady members, one of the most faithful, godly women, a matriarch of our church, whose husband is lost. Would you go, you're evangelistic, really, would you go witness to him? So Nick was singing for me, and we were there, and we went to this home, and the woman was deeply concerned because her husband was starting to go into a downturn, probably mortally. And his health was horrible. He was on oxygen, had the tubes, was sitting in his recliner. So we come in. She goes in the kitchen, and I do what I do. I started going into witnessing to him and soul winning, and began to witness to him. And finally, I went over beside him, and I dropped down on one knee, and I held his hand. And I said, sir, your wife is deeply concerned for you. You may die soon. You must repent and give your life to Christ. So he looked at me and he said, okay, I will. And he didn't cry or anything. He wasn't emotional about it. So, okay, I will. So I led him sinner's prayer. He gave his life to Christ. His wife came out of the kitchen crying, just broken. And he says, women are very emotional. This is what the guy says. I mean, really stoic, you know. And women are very emotional. And she said, Pastor, I've been praying for him to get saved for 35 years. I said, 35 years? I'd be crying right now. You know, she did not give up. 35 years she prayed for his salvation, and God finally, it finally happened. Now, we come up with these, God's omniscient, he knows everything, he sees everything, he hears everything, every iota of information in the universe is in his mind, in his being. So why do we have to pray? Why do we have to say anything? He already knows. In fact, he initiates a lot of the prayers because he wants us to. And because in his economy, the economy of God, that's how things get done. You know, and Jesus gave an illustration. He said there was this little widow, and she had a legal complaint, and she went to the judge and knocked on his door. He wouldn't come down. It's late at night. I'm in bed. Leave me alone. She knocked on the door. She knocked on the door. She knocked on the door. I mean, incessantly knocking on the door. Finally, the grumbling judge gets up and he goes down, opens the door. She tells him what it is, and he says, I will give you your judgment. And Jesus said, do you think he did it because he was a righteous judge? No, it was the connotation. He did it because she would not leave him alone. And then he said, I want you to pray to me that way. I want you to pray to me that way. So don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up, especially those that God has burdened your heart about. Don't stop. Don't give up. And pray for each other. I would love it if all of you would pray for me and Kim, pray for me every day, that the Holy Spirit of God would fill me with His Spirit and live His life through me. And that would be helpful for all of you, for me to live in that life. I wish I could say I feel like I'm constantly controlled by God, but I don't think I am. I think I go in and out. I think I struggle with it like y'all do. We all think, well, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, or whoever. No, same thing. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived, said, I haven't yet attained. I'm forgetting what's behind me. I'm pressing on. And so we see here that we're to pray that you're filled with the knowledge of God's will. Thirdly, we're to pray for the knowledge, that's in the second part of verse 9. We're to cease not to pray, to ask that you may be filled, completely filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom, first of all. Spiritual wisdom. What is spiritual wisdom? Spiritual wisdom is wisdom that's attained through the Spirit of God. Spiritual wisdom also is wisdom that has a spiritual nature to it. There's carnal religious wisdom, but there's also spiritual wisdom. If you've got your Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, we see a reference to this also. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is applied revelation. It's more than just knowing facts. It's actually this wisdom. Wisdom is the living out. It's spiritual knowledge that has obedience with it. where I'm going to obey it and I'm going to live out. Some people say, have, through the years, have said, Pastor, why doesn't the Lord talk to me more? You know, speak to me in my spirit. Why don't I hear what you and others have described at church? Why don't I have that? And I mean, in some cases, just kind of observing their life, I don't always, well, I pretty much probably always do say it, so don't ask me unless you want to know. But, I mean, I would say, well, you don't obey him. You don't obey him. If he's talking to you and he's saying, do this or do that, give this, pray for this, volunteer for that, whatever. Especially if he's asking you to volunteer for the pumpkin patch. And you say, I do not want to sit in the heat. And we, you know, we've got tents and we will put a fan on you if you're that hot. If you're a hot little boy or a hot little girl. But, you know, if he lays these things on your heart and you say, no, that's not for me. That's not what I want to do. You know, I know yesterday, I think almost everybody put in the tent was feeling like, I would really like to be somewhere else. I mean, we enjoy, there's a camaraderie and what an effort, you know. And now there's this big pumpkin sign sitting out there. It's a tent and it says, something's going to be under me. You know, but the idea of wisdom is obedient knowledge. It's applied knowledge. It's knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And then he said, with understanding. Back in our Ephesians 1, not only verse 17, but verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened. The eyes of our heart. Does our heart have eyes? That's a part of understanding. That our heart will have understanding, be able to see, and that our heart is the seat of our will. It's the seat of our will. It's where we decide what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, if we're going to do it. And so he wants us to be... We're to pray and pray that for each other. We're to pray it for all of us, that you're filled with the knowledge of God's will, spiritual wisdom, and with understanding. Number four, we're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What would that be? A manner worthy of the Lord. That would mean, if you want a way to kind of think of this or conceptually grab it, that would mean that when you do things, you say, what if Jesus was sitting or standing right beside me? Would I say that? Would I do that? Would I watch that? You know, would I take that? A manner worthy of the Lord. Worthy. And he wants us to live like that, pleasing him, pleasing God in everything. This is where he's happy, where he looks down and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Again, in our study this morning, Daniel, the angel said, you're a man well favored. You're a worthy man. What a thing for Daniel, all those years, everything he went through. How many people on earth have been thrown into a lion's den? And then he gets up in the morning, he's rubbing their mane, and the king's concerned. He said, oh, I'm fine. Me and the cats are hanging out. You know. And we see a manner worthy. For 80 years, at least we know of, he was living a worthy life. And it pleased God, pleasing him. What a great thing for any of us to die and stand before him and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Now, I've done funerals all my ministry life. Started pastoring down in Hollywood in 85, I think it was, 85. And I was a youth pastor for that, did some funerals then. And there's such a difference in doing a funeral or a memorial service for a person who really loved God, where everyone knows it, then when you're there and you're kind of hoping they're in heaven, but you're going to speak them into heaven because they made a profession or they, you know, said they were a Christian. But there's times when I've shared some of the things people have said about someone at their memorial service, someone I didn't know very well. When I'm looking at the audience, the people there, the mourners, and it's like they don't believe it, you know. And so we see there was this pastor, a rural pastor, and there were these two rough brothers. They were the worst. They bullies, thieves, cussed out people, angry, just abusive guys, the two of them. And we see that when the first one died, the preacher got up and just bragged on him and said, you know, all these great things about him. And afterwards, several people came to him and said, "Pastor, what's up with that?" You know, and he said, well, and then at the end he closed and he said all these things. And then he also said some bad things about him and said, you know, this is so-and-so. And at the end, he adds on, he was wicked, he was mean, he was angry, but compared to his brother, he's a saint. And they said, why did you say all that? The good stuff and then that crazy ending and all that? Because he said that his brother said he'd give me $100 if I said his brother was a saint. But we see in relationship to this that we're to walk in a manner, we're to please him in everything. And he says to bear fruit in every good work. Bear fruit in every good work. To be fruitful, where our life produces a fruit. And I've been thinking more about that, and I've been asking the Lord, how can I add fruit to my life? You know, what can I do to add more fruitfulness to my life? And so I want to share an illustration with you that's coming out of our crazy love study tonight. Francis Chan included this in his book. Brooke Bronkowski was a beautiful 14-year-old girl who was in love with Jesus. When she was in junior high, she started a Bible study on her campus. She spent her babysitting money to buy Bibles to give to the students that came to her study. Youth pastors heard about it, and they gave her boxes and boxes of Bibles. Brooke wrote the following essay when she was about 12 years old, and it'll give you an idea of the kind of girl she was, and here's what she said. And I want you to take this to heart. Her title was, "Since I Have My Life Before Me." Brooke Bronkowski, "I'll live my life to the fullest. I'll be happy. I'll brighten up. I will be more joyful than I have ever been. I will be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Christ. I will go on adventures and change the world." This is a 12-year-old girl. "I will be bold and not change who I really am. I will have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles. You see, I'll be one of those people who live to be a history maker at a young age. Oh, I'll have moments, good and bad, but I will wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I remember, just good moments, nothing in between, just living my life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who go somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I will pray for direction. I have my life before me. I will give others the joy I have, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do. I will follow the footsteps of God. I will do my best. Wrote that at 12 years old, an essay at school. She wrote essays and handed them out to her friends to encourage them. And then, as a freshman in high school, 14 years old, she was on the way to the movies, and her life ended in a sudden cataclysmic car wreck, 14 years old. 1,400 people came to her funeral. 1,400. Frances Chan gave an invitation at the funeral, and over 200 of her high school friends gave their life to Christ. Literally, she fulfilled her essay, and now she's written in this popular book as a continuing testimony. I think the thing she said, in fact, if y'all want, I'll make a copy of it, and we'll put it, how many of you like a copy of it? I'll put it in the sale next week. And I'd like you to think about those things. I love what she was saying, the good and the bad. And I will wipe the bad away, and I will only remember the good. You know, it's a very feral. I saw an interview of Chuck Smith just probably months before he died, the pastor from Calvary Chapel. A lot of the praise and worship music came out of there. He was known for reaching the hippies at first. And when they were interviewing Chuck Smith, they asked him, what regrets do you have in your life? And he just kind of laughed. He's a jovial kind of guy. And he said, I have none. Zero. He said, because I serve a sovereign God, and everything I experienced was part of his will, and I'm just going to embrace it. They asked him to say, you know, something negative, and they could not get anything negative out of him. I mean, my esteem of him truly soared, and at that point, that example became an example for me, because I usually share it all, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know. And we see this aspect of pleasing God and bearing fruit in every good work and continually increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me ask you this. When it says the knowledge, it says it's not saying the knowledge about God. It's the knowledge of God. That means experiential knowledge of the living God interacting with you. The knowledge of God, not about Him. Are you growing in your experience with Christ, with God? Is He closer to today than He was a year ago, a month ago? Or do you have more understanding of Him? I want to grow like that. I tell you, Nick Bennett, as a senior man, was a constant student as he served here and as he's now rehabbing from his operation. I never went to a seminar that Nick didn't take notes. And I mean, when you're in your 80s, you've heard an awful lot of it already. Can I hear an amen? I had one bitter old man, kind of a self-prescribed pastor, come visit me a few years ago. Where do you go to church now? He said, oh, I don't. And I said, well, why not? He said, I've already heard it all. You have? You know it all. Wow. I've never, you know, been in the presence of someone like this. He said, yeah, you know, you pastors, you share this, you share that, I've heard it. Yank, yank, yank. You know, The guy was trouble everywhere he went. And I was not making an appeal for him to come back here because years ago he was here. But what a contrast between him and Nick. Notes till the end of his life. He loved, even though none of us could read them, but he was constantly taking notes and constantly growing, constantly reading. Pastor, you need to watch this video. You need to read this book. I ordered you a book, you know, ding, 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 ding. And we need to continually be growing in our knowledge of God. Number five, we're to pray you're strengthened with all power. And it's measured by God's strength. This is in verse 11 of our passage. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. According to, measured by the might, the strength of God for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Strengthened with his power. In Ephesians 5 in the spiritual warfare passage, he says we're to be strengthened in the intensity of his might. It's not our strength. It's not going to Planet Fitness and working out. It's the intensity and the power of God. And when we have it, the next things will appear with it. It'll be measured by God's strength and we'll gain steadfastness and patience in our life. Why do good people experience bad things? You know, why does everything not always go our way? I mean, I've had good, godly believers bitter at God for taking a family member, bitter at God for losing a job, you know, bad investment, you know, these different things. And God wants to strengthen us with his might and intensity so we are steadfast. We're not moving. And we're patient. We're patient in God. And then we see, finally, we're to joyously be grateful to God for our future inheritance. Verse 12. Giving thanks, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He says joyously. Rejoice in the Lord. How many times? What? Say it again.
Always.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always. And what are we rejoicing about? Our future inheritance. It's not going to be gold and silver. It's not going to be diamonds and sapphires and rubies. It's going to be the nature of God. There's a day when every one of us seated here today, every one of us that are listening, there's a day when we're going to be made into the image of Christ, and in that image, we're going to have the nature of God. And he says that, we'll be partakers of the divine nature. I've had people at funerals, memorial services, does my loved one hear me if I talk to him? If I go to the grave site and talk to him there, if they're believers, they have the omniscient knowledge of God and they know everything about all of us all the time, about all the information in the universe. God has shared that. How generous is God to share that with all of us? I don't think any of us deserve it. But that's our inheritance. And he wants us to be joyous that someday we're going to be just like him. When we get to heaven, every person we encounter will be like a little Jesus. Everybody. Now, they'll have their own personalities. They'll have probably their own appearances. Of course, we'll know everything. So do any of you struggle with names these days? Here's a secret. If they're at church, say, can I look at your Bible and just kind of act like you're browsing it, then go to the front where their name page is and look up their name. Or sometimes it's engraved on the cover. Or if you're men, ask your wife. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And thank you and praise you for the opportunity to meet and worship. And Father, I do want to ask you, please, if there's any here without a real living relationship, it's not that you don't talk to them because they're not obedient. You don't talk to them because they're not yours. And I want to ask you, please, to convict hearts today. I pray, Lord, that you will touch people and draw them to yourself. And I'd like to ask you right now, in the presence of God, are you sure that you know him? Does he speak to you, or do you just think that's something that happens to other people? I'd like to invite you right now to say, Lord, seriously, I don't think I know you, but I want to. Please forgive me and cleanse me. Take myself out of the way and replace it with your Spirit. Live through my life and give me eternal life through your Son, in your Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to extend our invitation again, like we always do. I want to invite you to obey God and do whatever he tells you to do. And listen to me. That could be a prayer request from you. We're talking about prayer this morning. We talked about prayer in life groups. We're talking about prayer now. And we'd like to pray for you. Maybe you have you're lifting a heavy burden. I know there's several of you I've been praying for several times a day that are wrestling with cancer. Several of our members. It could be anything like that. It could be relational. It could be your employment. Whatever that is. I mean, if you want us to pray for you, we'll be glad to do that right now. This is a house of prayer. And so we want to open up the invitation for that. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And someday, we will have our air conditioning repaired. Where it lasts. It was repaired. They said, Pastor, here's the equation. Leave the left disconnect on with the two compressors in that unit. And then on Saturday, have somebody turn on the other one and it'll cool down. So 2 weekends ago, they threw the second one and it ran for 17 seconds before it burned up. It's not that we're not trying, but someday we'll be over there. And when we are, we have a baptismal tank over there. We've actually got one that looks like a feed trough at the farm, Reborn Farm. We could bring that. We could do it in here. So if you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, we want to invite you to come during this invitation. Let's stand together and sing, and you come. God is prompting your heart. If he's speaking to your heart, obey him. There's no one here will judge you. Instead, we'll all rejoice with you. So if he's speaking to your heart, obey him and do what he asks you to do. I just want to remind you again about signing up for our pumpkin patch. And we still need the first week, right? It's starting next Saturday. And we don't need any more pallets. So I know all of you have pallets at home you were wanting to bring. You just leave them there. We don't need them. We do need baked goods, especially pecan pies. And okay, so bring the baked goods to church during the week. Okay, 9 to 3, yeah? Or drop it, or bring it Sunday. Or bring it Sunday. And we'll have a great time. Love you, God bless you. Yes, David.
May I make a prayer request for immediate results?
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stuart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again. I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the home page. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.